Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life, prosperity, death, and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's way, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Siblings, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. But as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your sibling has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Be reconciled to your sibling, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, but for it is his footstool, and or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Sometimes it helps to remind ourselves of the progression that got us to where we are today. And so all that follows is kind of a 5,000 foot view of Matthew's gospel, at least for the last few weeks. Jesus approaches John the Baptist for baptism, and John reluctantly agrees. Then the Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days of spiritual practice, fasting, praying, and testing by Satan. This part we skipped over. It'll show up the first Sunday in Lent. So if you don't remember hearing it, that might be why. Then Jesus hears that John is arrested, and Jesus strikes out forming his own group of disciples, and Jesus starts to declare his mission statement, and it goes like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Literally, thousands start following him, seeking healing, hungering for wisdom, listening to what he has to say. So Jesus heads up onto a mountaintop and begins teaching. Jesus starts his instructional moment by turning everything that people had expected about the ways of the world and God's reign completely upside down. He announces that in the kingdom of heaven, those who typically find themselves as outsiders and believed to be, well, not worth much, receive blessing. As surprising as that teaching may be, Jesus goes on by announcing that his followers are already agents of that kingdom of heaven. They are salt and light. He also tells his disciples that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Oh, and if anyone does not live righteousness better than scribes and Pharisees, that one will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Of course, scribes and Pharisees were seen in that time as being kind of the superheroes, the superstar, all-star followers of God's ways. We like to beat up on them, but it's not fair to them. That last several weeks in the church's hearing, what we have just heard identified, have been a whirlwind of announcements. And so now Jesus starts to dig in more deeply to what it means to live into this vision, into the kingdom of heaven. And so it's important to think about when Jesus says, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. What he's talking about is not the kinds of laws that local and state and federal governments enact, though in the broadest sense of the term, perhaps the purpose of the law
both in Scripture and in our government systems, have some common ground, because the law is around how to guide and order our life together in such a way that it is for the good of the whole community. Deuteronomy today puts it quite plainly: choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, holding fast to God. Now, it's important to remember that what's going on in Deuteronomy is a bit of a challenge in its own right. You see, God's law offers guidance that does bring life. But in the midst of that, Moses is speaking to a people who are preparing to enter a land and dispossess the current residents of their land. To follow that model literally, without attending, first of all, to what the core intentions of the law are, but also to the ways that that can get used, well, it suggests that those who claim God as theirs, as being on their side, can use that law to crush people. Sources like this can have the effect of sanctioning things like the doctrine of discovery and slavery and economic principles that protect a small minority of wealthy landowners. By the way, it's important to note that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America repudiated the doctrine of discovery. And as a nation, we have repudiated slavery. So when Jesus starts digging in deeper into what it means to fulfill the law, God's law, Jesus focuses not so much on that further back law, but on the prophets. Their articulation of God's law attends to a foundational commitment to the weak, to the vulnerable, to the poor, the stranger, the sick. The language that the prophets use is the widow, the orphan, the sojourner in your land. And it encodes a commitment to those people Jesus later calls the least of these among us. And so today we have entered into Jesus, well, his catechism class, where he lifts up some commandments to be clarified and discussed. Indeed, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. Of course, that bit about divorce follows from the commandment about adultery, although some would really like to elevate it to a primary place. What Jesus does with each of these has a powerful effect. For many, these commandments are simple. Don't kill. Well, I didn't kill. Don't commit adultery. Well, I haven't done that. Don't testify falsely. I haven't done that. Jesus digs deeper. The prohibition against killing extends to becoming angry with siblings, with neighbors. It goes so far as to prohibit insults. Such insults include calling others fools. I heard one individual this week suggest that it's almost impossible to drive in some communities without calling people fools. Living in a culture where anger and insults and name-calling have become sport, taking Jesus seriously raises substantial questions. And for those of us who feel confident in our position, taking the position of a spectator, taking the spectator role in that sport, in any of these, raises its own concerns. And the problem expands when one acknowledges how easily one can point out the sins, the failings, the need for repentance in another while remaining blind to one's own. The fishing net of Jesus catches pretty much everyone. Who doesn't need to repent of some form or another of this behavior? Jesus offers a way forward. First, be reconciled. Some argue that in the Lutheran liturgy, we place the sharing of the peace precisely at that transition between hearing the word of God and responding to it with song and prayers. And are bringing the offerings to the table and receiving Holy Communion precisely from Jesus' teaching today. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your sibling has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your sibling and then come and offer your gift. With respect to adultery, Jesus makes similar expansive moves that go beyond the simple to the extraordinary challenge of living the law fully. So too, Jesus challenges the notion that bearing false witness is an easy sin to avoid. The law, the commandments, the commitments Jesus articulates have the ultimate promise that all people know life, abundant life. Nobody gets left behind, not the wealthy landed folks, so also not the poor, the sick, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked. The kingdom of God is for everyone. In his day, the absolute prohibition against divorce protected women from being discarded into abject poverty. Choosing to follow God's commandments in the broadest scope of their commitment to care for one another, no matter what, chooses life. And so interpreting God's law in this time, in this place, calls the faithful to ponder ways that culture and knowledge and science and life have changed over the past 20 years or 50 years or 500 years or 2,000 years. The question today remains the same: how to live God's love and in God's love that seeks and desires the fullness of life for all people, everyone, no exceptions. Such commandments do not serve self, but they serve the neighbor. Now, of course, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, there is much, much more, but this time of Epiphany is coming to a close. Next week, the church observes the transfiguration of our Lord. The church puts away the Alleluias for the season of Lent. The church enters into a time of reflection on God's call for each one and for all together. And so, a little early invitation, you'll hear it again next week. Join in the journey of Lent beginning on Ash Wednesday, February 22nd. And during that time of Lent, follow Jesus to the cross. But first, We celebrate Jesus revealed on the mountaintop, who proclaims the reign of God that is indeed for all people and chooses life. And later, we acknowledge and celebrate Jesus who is revealed, transfigured on that mountaintop. Come and see.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.